Well, do have a seat. Lydia's going to come up and read the Bible. We're looking at Galatians chapter 3 this evening, verses 6 to 9.
Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believed are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed among Abraham, the man of faith.
Cool. Thank you very much. Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here. This is Houston. Say again, please. Houston, we've had a problem. Those were the famous words spoken by astronauts Jack Swaggart and Jim Lovell during the Apollo 13 mission to the moon in 1970. A faulty component on their spacecraft has caused an explosion in their oxygen tanks, which totally blew the side of the craft off. And now they found themselves losing oxygen, losing power, and all the while hurtling away from the Earth at about 2,000 miles an hour. And that is a pretty big problem. I'm sure you'll agree. Well, the human race has a big problem too, and it's much bigger than that. Our problem is that we are not right with God. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." None of us have lived in a way that would please God. No one is good enough. All of us have fallen short of the high standards he would require. We are all guilty sinners. And it gets worse. Hebrews 9:27 says, "A man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment." Death is not the end, you see. All of us will be resurrected on the last day to face God in judgment. And he will look back over all of our lives, at everything we have ever thought, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever said, and he will give his verdict. So that plus that equals it's very bad indeed. It's a very big problem. We're going to be in big trouble when we meet God, unless this is sorted out somehow. And that leads to our question tonight. The question is, how can we get right with God? That's what we're looking at tonight. How can we get right with God? How can we sort out this problem? And I won't keep you in suspense. I'll give you the answer straight away. The answer: we get right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And we've seen this answer already in a few weeks ago, actually, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, which is probably the most important verse in the whole of the book. And 2:16 is, "A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Now, that word "justified" there is an important theological word, which means to be declared right with God. To be declared right with God. So a person is not made right with God by being good, but by believing in Jesus Christ. And that is the key message of the book of Galatians. It seems so simple and clear, doesn't it? Not works, but faith. But it's easier than you might think to wander away from this truth. Because that's what the guys in the Galatian church had started to do. They were being led astray by some dodgy people from within their ranks. And they were being fooled into thinking that they could make themselves more acceptable to God by doing good works. And this is such a huge mistake on such a vital issue that Paul really gives them a roasting for it. Listen to what he says in chapter 3. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Did you become Christians by observing the law or by believing in Jesus?" By believing, of course. My translation of that is, "Come on, you muppets, how can you make such a fundamental mistake?" That's kind of got the sense of it. But then I get the impression in the book, he calms down a bit and he takes a deep breath and then he patiently explains it to them all over again. He says, "Okay then, consider Abraham." And that's what we're looking at tonight in chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Paul uses the example of Abraham to teach the Galatians again that we are justified, we are made right with God by faith and not by works. You want to go back to observing the Old Testament laws, do you? He says. Well, let me show you a giant of the Old Testament who did no such thing. Our first point tonight then, Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham was made right with God through faith. Abraham then, he must be a pretty strong contender, I reckon, for the second most famous man in the world ever. Obviously, Jesus is first. But, you know, because Abraham is a central figure in Christianity, in Judaism, and in Islam. And it's remarkable, really, that we're still talking about him like 4,000 years later. He started out life in the city of Ur in modern-day Iraq until the Lord called him and sent him on his way to the promised land. And the Lord then made several promises to Abraham. Can anyone, a bit of audience participation now, can anyone remember any of the promises God made to Abraham? Shout them out. Yes. He will have numerous descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And that one was particularly significant because both he and his wife were really old, and Sarah couldn't have children. So that was very significant, that one. So many descendants. What, any other ones? A land of his own, yes, a land, the promised land, because he promised it to him, obviously. Any other ones? He will be blessed, yes. Abraham will be blessed, and everyone who blesses Abraham will be blessed as well. And those who curse him will be cursed. There's three. So land, people, blessing. Sorry? A covenant. Yeah, this is like a covenant with Abraham, isn't it? All of this is the agreement with Abraham. Yes, a great name. You know, we're still talking about him today, aren't we? His name certainly is great. And the one that everyone forgets at the end, that I always forget, the last one. Yes, that all nations will be blessed through Abraham. Good. So, God made these promises to Abraham, yeah? And verse 6, how did Abraham respond? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, it was through faith that he was made right with God. And Paul holds up Abraham as an example to the Galatians here. Look at this bloke, he says. He was made right with God through faith. It can't have been through works of the law, because the law didn't even exist yet. And Paul also uses the language of money here as well, a financial transaction, to describe what went wrong. He says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, say I want to sell something on eBay, yeah? Say my beloved Juju pet collection, perhaps. And I put them up for auction, yeah? And somebody bids on them and wins. And then I post the little guys off. Yeah, bye-bye. And then the buyer, yeah, pays me electronically, yeah? They credit my account with money. I sell something, they credit my account. And it's a similar sort of thing going on here. In a similar way, the Lord makes a promise. Abraham believes, so God credits him with righteousness. And that's the way God works. God graciously responds to a person's faith by crediting righteousness to them and making them right with him. Now then, time for a musical interlude. Let's make sure you're still awake and that your blood is still flowing. All right, I didn't become a Christian until my university days, so I never went to Sunday school as a kid. If I had, I might have sung the song, Father Abraham, open brackets, had many sons, close brackets. Maybe some of you remember it. Well, we're going to sing it now. I'm going to invite Chris and the band up to the front to lead us in this.
I'm not doing this on my own, mind, so stand up. And we're all doing the actions together. It'll go right arm, left arm, right leg in the end, left leg, nod your head and then turn around, okay?
Some people are trying to come to the front.
Oh, and some people have been going to come and join me, I understand. Yeah, come on, Aaron. Bus is coming. Come on, then up you come. Yeah, it takes a real man to do this. Here they come. Excellent. Right, here we go.
Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, nod your head, turn around.
Oh, I'm exhausted. Let's be thankful we didn't do the full version. It's the abridged version. Right. It's a good song, isn't it? Good job, everyone, by the way. Yes, it's a good song. And like many children's songs, it contains profound theological truths. It says that normal people, like you and me, can become children of Abraham too, even though we're not physically related to him. Now, how can that be? Let's have a look at verses 6 to 9. 7 to 9. Let's read 7 to 9. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So then, Abraham sets up the pattern of salvation for the rest of us. Just as he believed and was made right with God, so we can believe and be made right with God too. That's our second point tonight. We can be justified by faith. We can be made right with God by faith. Abraham is the father of all who believe. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And that means that anyone can become a believer. We don't have to be physically descended from Abraham to be part of the people of God. Anyone in the world can become a child of Abraham. The doors of salvation have been flung wide open to everyone. And this was always God's plan too, to justify the Gentiles by faith. A Gentile, by the way, is a person who is not Jewish. So that would be most of us in this room, I guess. So it was always God's plan to make salvation available to everyone, Jew or non-Jew. And he announced his plan to Abraham thousands of years before it came to pass. All nations will be blessed through you, he said. Now, this promise wasn't fulfilled in Abraham's lifetime. There are glimpses of it being fulfilled in the Old Testament. You know, when foreigners like Rahab and like Ruth are blessed. But the true fulfillment of this promise would have to wait 2,000 years later until Jesus arrived on the scene. Because Jesus was born into the family line of Abraham. That is what the family trees of Jesus, you know, the genealogies in Luke and Matthew, show us. Jesus was born into Abraham's family line. Now, we might think those genealogies are just boring lists of names. You know, so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, and so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, whose mother was so-and-so. But to a Jewish believer, yeah, it would have been fascinating stuff because it would show them that this promise is being fulfilled. Through Abraham, all nations will be blessed. Because from the family line of Abraham came Jesus, and through his death, he made it possible for all who believe to be made right with God. And now this invitation has gone out to the whole world, and people from all nations are being blessed. And that is what God is up to these days. The gospel is being preached in all nations. And that is why it's so important for us to be a mission-minded church, to be supporting our missionaries abroad, and to be supporting evangelistic efforts here as well, because the UK is just as much a mission field also. As we finish then, I just want to say a quick word on how Jesus makes all of this possible. When we put our faith in Jesus, an amazing transfer occurs. He takes our sin and unrighteousness upon himself, and he gives us his righteousness. It's a bit like getting married. Yeah, let's say when I was a student, I blew all my money on Nintendo stuff, on Beatles CDs, and down the pub. So I ended up with £10,000, well, tens of thousands of pounds worth of debt. And let's say that Anne was very frugal, yeah? And she worked very hard, and she saved up all her money, so she ended up with thousands of pounds worth of savings in the bank. So when we got married, another amazing transfer occurred. I got all of her savings, and she took all of my debts, you see? And the Bible says that when we believe in Jesus, it's like getting married to him. We become united with him. He takes our unrighteousness and sin, and he gives us his righteousness. And he dealt with our sin when he died on the cross. So the punishment is paid. And now we are right with God because of what he has done. He has made the impossible possible. He has solved our biggest problem, our inability to save ourselves. God, in his love and his grace, has provided a way for us to be made right with him. That doesn't rely on our good behavior. All we need to do is to believe in Jesus Christ and accept the forgiveness that he offers. Right then, how can we apply this? Well, firstly and most importantly, are you right with God? Have you put your trust in Jesus? If you haven't yet, may I encourage you to think about these vitally important things and accept Jesus' invitation, because it is the only solution to our biggest problem. What if you're a believer already? Well, it's very easy to make the same mistakes as the Galatians and try to earn God's approval by doing good works. Now, be careful. Because there are movements out there that are making these very same mistakes today. And perhaps you students out there are most likely to come into contact with some of these things as you go out into the world. For example, two movements to be aware of. Firstly, the new perspective on Paul, as taught by Bishop Tom Wright and others. And the federal vision movement coming out of America. Now, both of these movements, they take the Bible very seriously, and both of them are concerned about holy living, which is good. But at their heart, they are moving away from righteousness by faith alone, and they are adding works back into the equation. So if you ever come across any of this teaching, my advice to you is to run like the wind. Keep running and don't look back. So what about on a more personal level then? Have you ever found yourself thinking, you know, when things aren't going too well spiritually, oh, if only I read my Bible more or prayed more, God would find me more acceptable. Or perhaps when things are going well, have you ever thought to yourself, you know, I'm glad I went to all those Christian meetings last week. I've read so much of my Bible. God must find me acceptable now. Yeah, be careful, because thoughts like these are starting to stray into works-based righteousness again. Never forget that we are right with God because of what Jesus did, not because of the things that we have done. We are right, we are righteous, because we believe and trust in him. Of course, that's not to say that we shouldn't do good things, though. It's good to meet with other Christians, it's good to read your Bible, and it's good to pray. But these should always be a response to God's kindness to us, and never an attempt to make ourselves more acceptable to him. So to finish then, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts this evening for what you have done for us. We thank you for your great rescue. We thank you, Lord, that you intervened and you made a way that we could be saved, because we were unable to save ourselves. We were unable to be good enough. But you provided a way through Jesus that we could be saved, that we could be made right with you through what Jesus had done. We thank you, Lord, that he took all of our sin onto himself, and Lord, that he gave us his righteousness, so that we are now right with you. We thank you for the wonderful love and grace and kindness and mercy you've poured out on us through Jesus, Lord. We thank you very much for it. Please help us not to stray into works-based righteousness. Please help us always to be secure that our salvation is based on what you have done alone, not what we have done. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.